Welcome to the Motivate Me Book Club, presented by Pineapple Jen. Hey everybody, hope you're having a great week. We took a little break from the book and had a special episode last week. If you didn't have a chance to hear it or you didn't know about it, I definitely recommend going back and checking it out. Today we are looking at The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey and continuing on with Habits 4, 5, and 6. These are leading into the public victory sector, which is our basic interactions with others. You could think of this as being the ecological approach to the concepts. We're looking at how people interact with their environments and that they are related and influenced by each other. It might be arguably a little bit more of the difficult side of these concepts, since it does involve more than just ourselves. We could think that we could be proactive, that we can begin with the end in mind, and that we can put first things first, the personal victory side of things. But when we integrate others and their own mindsets and maybe concepts and ways of thinking that don't align with the way that they're presented in this book, it could create some challenges. But that is what life is all about, isn't it? It's about having challenges on a regular basis and moving past them, learning from them, and feeling the reward and satisfaction of progress. So let's get into it. Let's get into these next habits and find out how they work for us. Habit 4, think win-win. I am so all about this. I don't know if that's a very professional statement, but I just feel very strongly that this is such a no-brainer, that this is how we should look at life. And it has so much to do with an abundance mentality. The concept of think win-win is really interpersonal leadership. It's all about having the elements of independence, of being able to work and live and function on your own and be self-sufficient, but realizing that we do not live in an isolated existence. We work with others. We live with others. If you have children, you have people who depend on you. And all of this opens you up to a sense of vulnerability because that independence is technically challenged. But it's not a challenge that doesn't come without reward. It's a good challenge. What you need to see is that we could actually benefit in all directions. Last week when I had Britt Alex on from Britt K Creates, we met at a very cool way. It was a meeting called Tuesdays Together, and it's based on the Rising Tide Society. And the whole concept of this is that the rising tide lifts all boats. So as the water rushes in, all boats rise up at the same rate. And as the tide goes out, they all go down. So if you think of success as wealth, as growth, as the tide being all of those things, there is enough to lift all of us up at the same time. There is enough to go around. So what this does is it really takes a lot of vulnerability and emotional intelligence to be in this kind of mindset. I think of it as being a person with high integrity, that what you do, not only when people are watching you, but when you're on your own and by yourself, reflects the kind of win-win. Because you could say that you're trying to work together for everybody's benefit, but if you go and when you're by yourself, you're doing things more selfishly, more for self-interest purposes, then that's not the kind of character that will build up an actual thinking win-win perspective. So this one to me is the bridging part between the personal private victory side and the public victory, because what we're doing is we're taking the first step of thinking about our own successes and then considering others. It takes high courage, and high consideration to get to this level. And I've kind of just come to this awareness in the past year with the Rising Tide Society's Tuesdays Together's meeting with working in more of a business mindset, that what I'm doing ultimately wants to support my own personal interests, but I really want to do something that helps others at the same time. There's no reason why what I'm offering should just be for my own self-interest. So thinking win-win is one of my favorite habits that I've discovered so far. And I think that this is really a real attribute to being an effective person. What do you think? Do you think that's right? Do you think thinking win-win is going to work for you? Well, the other portion of it that the book elaborates a lot more on is that you can think win-win or there's no deal. So you could just walk away. The whole concept of this is that nobody is wrong. There's no winner or loser or a right and a wrong. It's that you can both have your perspectives and try to find a middle ground where both of your values are approached and incorporated. And if there isn't any middle ground that can be established, then you can walk away. What Stephen Covey does recognize is that in some types of interactions, say with your spouse, just walking away isn't necessarily going to happen because it's not a divisive type of experience or situation that means that your marriage is going to fall apart. What it means that is that you have to take a lower step of acceptance in this case, and maybe it's a compromise. So not all the values that you hold get put in, but a portion of each do, and then a lower level of a solution is reached. Definitely read more into this in the book, but I think win-win is a crucial part to getting to the next level. Now, the second habit that we're talking about today is habit number 5. It is seek first to understand, then to be understood. When I interviewed Melanie Knight a few weeks ago, we were talking about which habits we were really drawn to and then also which ones we might have to work on. And I admittedly thought this was one that I'm guilty of not being super great at just yet. And maybe never. Maybe it's something that I'll just always have as my crutch. It's the one thing that I will need to practice and may never become a habit. It's the fact that when we get into conversations, when we get into approaching things, we come with our own predispositions. We have a lot of experiences, a lot of information that we gathered over time, and that is what creates our perspective, our realities. But what we don't always do is take a step back and really keep up an open mind to allow more information to come in so that we might not have any notion already conceived. One of the kind of examples that Stephen Covey goes into in the book that's really kind of funny is about prescribing before diagnosing. And relating that to healthcare is something that I think we can all relate to. If you went to a doctor and you said, oh, hey, I have this headache and, you know, my stomach is really, you know, upset and I don't have the ability to really like sleep right now. And then he's like, oh, okay, yeah. Just take a couple of Advil and put your feet up and call me in the morning. And it's kind of like, okay, well, what do you think I have? Well, it's like, I don't know. I want you to try this out. And, you know, you said you have a headache, so ultimately, you know, you got to take away the pain. That's what's going on, right? And so just put your feet up. Maybe that'll help with your sleep. Well, these are little antidotes for the symptoms, but you're not getting down to the root cause. The diagnosis should be understanding what is at the root of all these things that are getting expressed. And so if you take this kind of concept into conversation, a lot of people might talk about stuff that feels near and dear to their hearts, their values, but it only comes out at the superficial level. If people really care about being on time or not being late for something, it might be because they have a deep sense of urgency or dedication, or there's a high value that they have with showing up on time. It's a discipline through their training, whether that's from school or as a child with their parents. So the values, the reasons behind what people express outward are what we should be looking to understand. And the way that this is difficult for us to really approach is that we always come back with an autobiographical lingo. We'll say, oh yeah, I know what you mean. When I was a kid, I had this, my parents taught me this. And so we bring it back to ourselves and we become very centric and focused on how it personally relates to us. But to seek first to understand and then to be understood is to really relate to that person and not to ourselves. And I know that that's something that I want to work on a lot. Empathic communication. How do we step into someone else's point of view, take a walk in their shoes, and then try to diagnose before we prescribe? I don't want to give too much away because I think, again, the book has a lot more that is divulged and is for you to ingest and to extract from. But hopefully some of these kinds of examples are a building area and a place to start from when it comes to the fifth habit. This last habit of today, habit six, is synergize. I have to admit that the concept and even the word were completely foreign to me before this book, but the definition of synergy and synergism is a combined action or operation, a mutually advantageous conjunction or compatibility of distinct business participants or elements. I think the key takeaway is it's a mutually advantageous cooperation. This is obviously building on habit four, think win-win, that it incorporates more than one person and it benefits all. Well, Stephen Covey does call it creative cooperation. So it's looking at the whole as being greater than the sum of its parts. I love that quote. It makes it so abstract in its way of thinking that 1 + 1 doesn't just equal 2. It's 1 + 1 = 8, 10, 100, 1,000,000. That when more than one thing comes together, the sum of that isn't what really matters, but it's what those things combined can ultimately create that is the bigger value. And this comes from utilizing what is different between all that are involved. When minds come together that think alike, I know that it feels good and it kind of reinforces your own personal perspective when someone says, yeah, that's great, like I think the same way, and oh, that's exactly what I thought. And you're like, oh, great minds think alike, eh? Well, that doesn't challenge us. And again, from challenge comes progress because it's something that we need to learn from, to build on, and to move forward. So this synergy is based on people with differing perspectives and valuing the difference between them. That middle way, that middle ground that can come from thinking win-win to come to a solution that benefits all, that's synergistic cooperation. That's the action. And it comes from a high level of trust and a high level of cooperation. A big part of the public victory is to invest in the emotional bank account between individuals. What this means is that you have to make deposits into it so that it keeps a balance that's high enough to withstand anything that challenges it. So when differing perspectives come about between people who have a really strong emotional bank account between them, that's not going to withdraw so much that there isn't anything left, that the trust is gone. The other portion that this requires is having a high level of cooperation, to really put one's ego aside and to look at how you can actually work together on a solution. This requires a high level of vulnerability. So putting yourself out there, maybe backing away, doesn't mean that you've lost your position or that you're wrong. Again, everybody's thinking win-win here, but it's really keeping that open-mindedness to want to work together whatever it takes to work synergistically. And I'm going to steal the quote from the book and use this for myself, and I hope you can too, find this very useful. But what Stephen Covey has put in there is that what you want to look for are the people that you disagree with to practice this. And when something comes about and you see that struggle or challenge where you're not seeing eye to eye per se, what you say is then, good, you see it differently. And what that does, it affirms to them that you understand their position, but you don't have to agree. And then from there, then you work on finding a creative and cooperative alternative solution that benefits everybody. Sounds easy, right? No? You don't believe me? Well, good. You see it differently. Now let's figure it out. Well, that is that, folks. Those are habits 4, 5, and 6, creating our interdependent state where we have public victory and success with our interactions and others. I'm finishing the book and going to talk a lot more about what other books and things we have in store next week. So if you have any recommendations or books that you want to read, this is our chance. We're going to do a bit of a survey, but if there's anything that you want to put up there to be on the Motivate Me Book Club Challenge, then send your requests and comments to motivatemebookclub@gmail.com. This has been the Motivate Me Book Club, presented by Pineapple Jen. Thank you for joining. We'll see you next week.